8:57 on this Monday night, 97.5 The Fanatic, fighting through it. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Yeah, my back is bothering me. But, so, I'll just, you know, people know that I tore my knee last summer.
Devon plays hurt.
I do play hurt. And I have to play hurt because I have to get up in the morning. So I'm like, all right, let me get things going, right? I did my stuff today to make sure my back is all right. I have to get up in the morning. I want to make sure I'm good. I actually have a doctor's appointment tomorrow for my knee. So during the rehab last week, so I'm doing the rehab. And they Nick, my trainer, my physical therapist, pardon me, had me doing these box jumps. And I'm doing the box jumps and everything is cool. I do it on the lower ones. I think they were like, I don't know how much they are, but they're slower to the floor. I can't even really tell you. And then he had me step up a little bit and he's like, you want to do these? I'm like, yeah, I'll do these. And we started doing it. And it's my fault because he did ask first. And I said, yeah. I could have said no, but I felt good, right? I'm rolling. I'm feeling good. My knee is all right. And I'm doing these 10 box jumps, going up pretty high. And all of a sudden, at like number 6, I feel my back, which I've already had a lower back issue from like 10 years ago playing ball. Grabbed the rebound, turned around, grabbed the rebound, caught it, turned, locked up on me. That was it.
One of the old legs went, body didn't follow.
Oh, man, I was mad, too, because I was like, seriously? All I did was grab. I've done this many a time.
You grabbed the board, though.
I grabbed the board.
You held on to it, too.
I got the rebound, right? But anyway, so I'm doing the box jumps, and I feel it at, like, number 6. I got to go through. Like you said, play hurt, fight through it. I'll be fine. It's just, you know, it's a little tweak. I'm used to it. Nah, that was last Wednesday. That was last Wednesday, so it hurts. It does. It's just what it is. I don't know.
We got to put you on the IR?
No, I'm good. I have my back brace on from when I'm sitting. I'm sitting in Mike's chair, which is like straight up. No leaning or anything. So hopefully this helps, man. Hopefully this helps. I don't know. But it is what it is. Fighting through it. Long day tomorrow, so I want to make sure I'm ready to go. 610-632-0975. Again, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli here with you on The Fanatic for one more hour as we take you up until 10 o'clock. Tomorrow we will be back at 6 as well. A special guest. Look forward to that as well in studio for all 4 hours. But let's go to Mike and Delco on the phones here. What's up, Mike?
Hello.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Am I on here?
Yes, sir.
All right. First time, long time. And I specifically want to call your show.
Thank you. I love it. Thank you.
I listen during the day at work, but when I'm driving around shopping and I got free time, I wanted to chime in tonight on the Simmons and Embiid thing. I played ball up until my knees went, had to get them replaced. And every night I went out. And, you know, totally different level. But I tried to give my best. I don't understand the inconsistency. And whoever the producer was who talked to me, I said, I got a name for you, Derek Coleman. All the talent in the world, but didn't give it every night. And I just don't get it when you have that kind of talent. And the whole thing with Simmons is, I could take his game because of his defense, and that's a huge thing.
But when you say take his game, meaning the lack of shooting?
No, that's what I'm getting at. When I was a kid, when it was winter, and you know in the winter the balls don't bounce, I'd have 3 or 4 balls and smacking them off the garage door, catching them and shooting them until the neighbors complained.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do when you're a kid and you're by yourself and you don't have 9 other guys to run with?
Yeah, you shoot.
You shoot.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's a problem, too. I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to be on their mind. I love the fact that they're all going down there No one's got the virus. They seem like they're all in. And, you know, like everyone, I can't wait for it to come back and we'll see what happens.
So you're more of a, let's just see what happens. Really don't have a prediction of, as to what will happen.
I know Missinelli would disagree with me wholeheartedly, but I'd like to know what our record is against Milwaukee. I think if we got to face Milwaukee,
I think they were 2-1 with one more to go.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not looking at them. You know, as I don't know, there's other teams that scare me more as far as matchups. Toronto being one of them.
You're speaking my language here, because I said Toronto is the one that really, we know Milwaukee, but Toronto is the one that really gives them trouble.
Yep, exactly.
They're 1-2 against Milwaukee with one more to go.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking last year.
Yeah, 1-2 with one more to go.
Thank you, Tyler. Yep.
You got it, Mike. Well, listen, man, I hope to hear from you soon.
Hey.
Yes.
I was disappointed the last guy from Shanksville, who I agree with wholeheartedly, got the last T-shirt.
Oh, man. Sorry, man.
If we get any more,
we'll announce it tomorrow, and hopefully we'll hear from you again, Mike. Thank you, man.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Look at that. A hot item. Got the T-shirts.
Yeah, so they beat the Bucks on Christmas Day, obviously, and then they lost in Milwaukee.
They got blown out, didn't they?
February 6th, they lost by 11. And then, they got blown out on February 22nd. So they went back 16 days later and lost 119-98.
Yeah.
21-point loss.
Man. I still have a problem with Toronto. I'm just saying. Still have a problem with Toronto. That's all. That's all I have to say. Tyler, the Phillies baseball schedule is now out.
Yes, it is.
It is now out. So how about this? Let's just give a couple of things. It came out around 6 p.m. We wanted to hold on to it. Here are the memos as per the Phillies on their Twitter account. Universal DH, which we knew. Extra innings. Every half inning after the ninth will begin with a runner on second base, again, which we knew. Runner will be player who made final out previous inning. Or a pinch runner. Okay, that's interesting. 3 batter minimum. That's when relievers who enter the game must face at least 3 batters or finish an inning before being removed. Okay, relievers again enter the game must face at least 3 batters or finish an inning before being removed. Another interesting wrinkle. Suspended games. If a game gets cut short due to weather before it becomes official, less than 5, it will be continued at a later date. So we'll still do the rain dates and get back at it at a later date if it's possible. So here are, as we move on from the memo, here are the games. We'll start in July. First official workout was on the 3rd, as we know. First time we've seen Aaron Nola with the team. They had some COVID players that had to step away from the team and stay away from the team and all. So the COVID guys stayed away. Aaron Nola is now back. But the team gets underway. We knew about the 23rd, 24th when the start of the season. The 24th is when your Philadelphia Phillies start the season with the Miami Marlins 3-game set. All right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday against the Miami Marlins. Maybe they'll actually beat them. The Miami Marlins, who actually give them problems. But they start off with the Marlins here in Philadelphia, first weekend against the Phillies. Ty, I'll run these. We run them together. What you got? Miami, first 3.
Under the assumption that Aaron Nola's ready, 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler's ready as well?
I would think.
Okay. If not,
if he plays.
All right. If not Arrieta, you're still going 2-1.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1. I mean, outside of Jordan Yamamoto, I don't really like their pitching staff all that much. Caleb Smith might still be there, but I'm not entirely certain. But Yamamoto is the only one that I really actually have faith in. So I would go 2-1.
Okay. Next up, at home, 2-game set. New York Yankees. This is something, guys, we're going to have to get used to. NL East and the AL East, 20 games against the AL East, 40 games against the NL East. They start off the AL East schedule against the Yankees at home Monday and Tuesday. I won't stop there because next on Wednesday and Thursday, no travel date in between because they play the Yankees Monday and Tuesday and then in New York Wednesday and Thursday. What do you think? Four games.
1-3.
1-3.
And the reason I say 1-3 is because those first two games, under the assumption that you're probably going to see the 4 and the 5 for the Phillies, whether it be, you know, Eflin and Velasquez or Eflin and Pivetta, whomever it might be, that Yankees lineup is going to harm them. Like 10 plus runs. It's going to be bad.
Okay.
And honestly, that if they get one win out of four, I would be shocked.
All right.
The Yankees team is good.
They are good. That's six games in the books, right? Seven games in the books, actually, between Miami and four with the Yankees. They now head to Toronto for a three-game set over the weekend. Friday the 31st, Saturday the 1st of August, 2nd against Toronto, closing out in Toronto. This is a team a lot of people have high expectations for coming into the season to be very good in the AL East. Tyler, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how much I expect Toronto to be good this early, especially because I don't think their pitching's all that good. Their offense is all that good with Kevin Biggio and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and, you know, Bo Bichette's kid. They are all really young and really talented.
Is that
Or Dante Bichette. His name is Bo.
That's his son?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
So
Dante Bichette is tough.
They're a good team, but their pitching's not. Not yet. So I would expect 2 of 3 and a lot of runs being scored.
Okay. All right. Here's on that Friday the 1st, rosters are then trimmed from 30 to 28 on that Friday before the game against the, I'm trying to see what the times are, against the Blue Jays. So no time.
3:07 first pitch.
Okay. On theirs, they don't have anything. So thank you. That's on the Friday? 307?
Oh, no, that's the Sunday.
Sunday. Okay.
6:37.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. I wonder how.
But the 6:30. Oh, I guess it's in Toronto.
Yeah.
Still.
But the time is
weird. Weird time.
Yes, whatever. So they have Monday off to travel from Toronto, Canada, to get to Miami to take on the Marlins for 3 in Miami. 2-1.
Should.
I'll give you 2-1. I don't even have to ask you 2-1 right there. Next up. No, actually, the roster's trimmed on August 7th. My mistake. August 7th, rosters are trimmed. Then they go to Atlanta. No, then they come back home to Atlanta for 4 against the Braves. They are on a 10-game homestand. 10-game homestand starting with the Braves Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The Orioles, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the Mets, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No days off in between. That Monday, the 17th, is an off day.
I know that that's 10 straight games and 7 of them against division opponents.
Yes.
You've got to do some damage here.
You got to go
at home.
7-3.
Got to go 7-3. Especially.
Minimum 6-4.
Because you got to think about it this way. So the Braves have already lost out on one of their starting outfielders in Nick Markakis. He's done for the year. Freddie Freeman. Still up in the air. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play either. They're going to be good.
And say it. Markakis decided he doesn't want to play because of COVID-19.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly why you got those two guys already out of the lineup. That significantly makes them worse. They're still going to be good, but I think you take 2 of 2 or 2 of 4 against them, you have to sweep Baltimore.
All right.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
Let me give you one more, and then we're going to go to Gerald in South Jersey. The 17th off. 18th, 19th in Boston against the Sox.
I don't know how good they're going to be.
Right.
They could be really good. They could be, you know, less than stellar. So I would hope.
Hope you take 2.
That you
would.
I would hope you split. You know, on the road, a 2-game series, split that, I'd be okay.
And if you have momentum coming out of that 10 with the Braves, Orioles, and Mets, you would have to at least confidently feel good going into Boston. So we'll finish up the schedule as we go along. Some more, of course, some really interesting schedule overall, just seeing AL East and the NL East only, not traveling out west, not going to the Midwest and things of that nature. 610-632-0975. Gerald in South Jersey. G, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain at all, brother.
Glad to hear that.
My biggest thing that I'm worried about, so the Sixers were the fifth seed, right?
Mm-hmm. Six.
Six seed. So my question is, what happened during COVID-19, during this break, that made them better than the five teams in front of them? Is Brett Brown going to come out and be masterful in some way? Is Ben Simmons going to uncrack a jumper that opens up the spacing and the flow of the offense? Is Embiid going to come in 20 pounds lighter and just be unstoppable? I really don't know what we can hang our hat on or bet on that makes us better than five other teams in our division.
Health is the only thing I can lean on to say that, and that's not fair because everyone else has been off for the same
healthy
amount of time, and they're also getting healthy as well. So I don't know. The only thing, again, Gene, we mentioned this earlier, that you can lean on is going back to the start of the season and just having that same belief in this team, even though you've seen a 65-game sample size of them not being the team that you thought they were going to be, and just flat out go off of what you thought they were going to be in the very beginning.
Well, I think it's going to, part of what it's going to come down to is what kind of atmosphere within the team mentally they can build. Is that bubble going to feel like home to them? Because if it feels like home to them, we know what our home record was. If it doesn't feel like home to them, then it could get pretty ugly quick.
I agree with you.
So
I agree. We don't know how they all these teams are going to take with them being away and this being their home. Yeah.
I tend to lean towards, believe it or not, the biggest factor on what this team's going to do the rest of the season is going to be the coach. I think he has to figure out a way not only to motivate the players, but he's got to come up with a way to get all of this talent. Because it's a roster full of talent. He's got to figure out how to get them to work together and maximize that talent.
And that's why people continue to say the things that they say about them advancing, because of the talent that they have from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yep.
So listen, man, I was going to come over and get a T-shirt, and then it started raining like crazy. And now I don't really care that much. But then you talking about these T-shirts like they had a holy grail of T-shirts, man.
Well, you just heard our last caller say, man, I really wanted one of those T-shirts. And, yeah, we gave them all away, G. So we'll try to get some more, man. And we'll see if we can get some more and give them away tomorrow night as well.
All right, brother. Take it safe.
You got it, man. Thanks, man. Be safe out there. 610-632-0975. See, that's the question, man. Well, first of all, the T-shirts.
We can pull some strings,
hot
I think.
The hot item.
Got to have some extra laying around.
Got to get Chris and our caller before that. Try to see if we can get them some T-shirts for tomorrow. But that's the thing again, man. It comes down to when you look at the team in general, it comes down to the fact that these guys, what they put out on the floor earlier in the year to give everybody this confidence. 5-0, 20-7. Guys, remember this. They were 20-7 at one point. When they got up to that 5-0 start, we were like, oh, this is exactly what we were talking about. This is going to be a problem for the league. The Eastern Conference is in trouble. They lose a couple, go out west. I thought the West was going to be that first West Coast trip. That was going to be the big thing for me to get a sense of who they were. And it wasn't good, but then they rebounded. They were 20-7. Now, I know it's only 13 games over 500, but they were 20-7. Since they were 20-7, Tyler and I did this. They are under 500 since they were 20-7. Their record right now is 39-26, right? 39-26. So from there, they are not a good team overall. They are not a good team going forward when you look at that record that they have at, what, 19-19.
It's an average basketball team.
It's not good enough.
No, it's, and that's why we talk about good.
It's just not good enough.
They're not great.
No, not at all. And that's a bad thing, man. That's a bad thing. They have to be better than a 500 team going into Orlando inside that bubble. They have to be. Chris in Riverside, maybe he'll help us out with the Sixers lineup. Chris. Yo, Chris. All right, we'll put Chris on hold and check in on him and see if he is, in fact, ready to go. 610-632-0975 in general. All right, we can get back to the schedule. Tyler here. So we last left them in Boston. We haven't bothered. We just said they'll win this many games. We didn't give you this record or nothing. We're just talking about how we feel about them going in there. Well, if we look at the next weekend games in Atlanta, they're already on the road in Boston. They head to Atlanta, three games in Atlanta. The roster is trimmed on the 21st, that Friday against Atlanta. It is trimmed to 28 to 26. They have the Braves. Three games in Atlanta. There you go.
In Atlanta?
Got time.
And the thing is, you got to think about...
In Atlanta.
Yeah, you got to think about pitching matchups, and you got to think about who is... Obviously, you can't predict or forecast injury or slump or, you know, who's playing really well. I don't like the matchup in Atlanta.
Ah.
And I think that is still some of the lingering grossness that was Gabe Kapler.
Okay.
But until they prove otherwise, I'm not super excited about going to Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Day off, 24th. Head to Washington, three against the Nets.
Should still be a good team. I noticed
this is their
no
first
Ryan,
matchup with them.
No Ryan Zimmerman this year, obviously. No Anthony Rendon. He's with the Angels. They should still be a good team. I think they can still hit. They still obviously have the three aces for as long as, you know, Max Scherzer can continue to pitch. I would say probably one of three in Washington.
Okay. All right. They're back home, Atlanta, for the weekend, 28, 29, 30 against the Braves.
I think at home you have to take two of three. And this is if you're under the guise that you're going to compete. I don't think this team's that good.
Okay. Not that good. They keep it going at home against Washington on the 31st of August through the 3rd of September, which is the Thursday. So Monday through Thursday, 4 against the Nets.
Probably a split. That would be my best guess at home.
Okay, fair enough.
Because you figure with four games, you're getting at least two of those guys.
Right.
And the likelihood is you're probably getting all three.
Right.
It's a tough matchup.
All right. And this is, again, they just start rolling now again. The weekend, Friday to Monday, the Mets in New York. Four.
I don't know how good the Mets are going to be. I really don't. I anticipate pitching being good and the offense being a total question mark.
Okay.
So they could be a playoff team, and they could be a fourth place team.
All right. Boston at home for two. They have the Red Sox there at home for two. And you again, as Tyler pointed out, you just have no idea exactly who the Boston Red Sox are at this point. So you would like to think at least that somewhere, some way, somehow, you want them to just simply take one from them. Take a series from them. Look back and say, We took down the teams that we had to take down. So this is the second time they're facing Boston. The first time was August 18th and 19th in Boston. Now it's two more against the Red Sox in Boston at home, the 8th and the 9th. So between the four, if they are bad and you are good, you have to win three, in my opinion, of the four from the Boston Red Sox. It's only fair. Let's continue before we get the break. And then Scotty, Miami for four from Thursday to Sunday.
You got to win three. You have to win three.
We should have kept the number too, because now we're talking. Remember the 31 and a half was the number?
Yeah, 31 and a half. I don't feel really good about
that. We should have kept that. We should have kept track of this. 14th off on Monday. Mets 15th through the 17th. That's a Tuesday through Thursday at home.
Give me one. Yeah.
Toronto Friday through Sunday at home.
I'll take two there.
All right. They finish up on the road.
Zero.
Three in Washington, 22nd, 23rd.
One.
And finally,
this is where zero comes in.
The Rays.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being, you know, totally bullish on the Rays.
You like the Rays.
The Rays are a good baseball team.
You like the Rays. That's okay. You like the Rays. 610-632-0975. We just gave you the Phillies. Ty will probably give you his number because he's probably going to go back, look at it, and say, this is the record. And he'll give it to us on the other side at some point before we close out. Now, our final segment, 610-632-0975. Scott, we got you when we get back right here. Final segment, 25 minutes commercial free here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, along with Tyler Zuli. My name is Devon Givens. Final segment for us as we roll until 10 o'clock on this Monday night. Once again, we'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. here on The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. So you came up with your number during the break, as I predicted. I knew you would, because you couldn't keep yourself away from it. And it's only a 60-game schedule, so it's not 162, and it's not very difficult. What was the number you came up with?
You know what the saddest...
I thought you had him in the playoffs, so you just tell. But what's the saddest?
You know what the saddest thing is? Is, like, I do this to myself, knowing that I'm going to come up with a number that I, like, want to be physically sick over. Because, like, this offense, I mean, you think about the offense that they have, should be a playoff team.
Yes.
And you know me, you and I and Joe and all of us have talked about it for years, since we started all working together, since I started working with you guys. Mm-hmm. This pitching concerns me.
Yes. And even when they go get Wheeler.
Even when that happens.
It's still something there, and we still don't know what they're going to do as far as the four-man rotation, the five-man rotation. You heard the relievers. They have to have at least three batters and all of that stuff. I think it's going to be fun if they're able to put this thing together without any issues, and we'll get to that after we take Scotty's call. But, I mean, a 60-game sprint is fun.
Could they be a playoff team? Yeah, I think they could.
Yeah, why not?
But, again, much like the Sixers, is it could or should?
Through 60 last year, knowing you had 162, they were the playoffs.
Yes.
Now it's 60. Everybody's going to be playing tight.
Yeah, and
you can't make a mistake.
You can't lose a series.
Can't lose
and you
ground.
Definitely can't get swept.
Can't lose ground. And if someone else is going and they start off 6-0 and you're trying to do too much, maybe a manager says, you know what? One of us has to be the first to say, I'm going back to my first man in the rotation. I'm skipping this guy's start because I cannot afford to lose this game here.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen at game 130.
No.
It's going to happen it might happen at game 8 or 12.
Right.
Yeah. So to give you the number.
What's the number?
I've come up with 28 and 32.
That is not good enough for the playoffs.
It is not.
That is not good enough. 31 and a half was the number in Vegas. Tyler, you just put them out of the playoffs. I thought you had them in the playoffs.
Oh, no, I can't. And offensively, I can. And maybe that will be a benefactor or factor, I guess I should say. Beneficiary, they'll be of a short season. And have have an offensive outburst like a team like Colorado might or Texas might. But I look at the pitching and it's not good enough.
All right. we're going to continue to have this discussion until they actually take the field. And probably
I'd love
when
to be
they
wrong.
Do take the field.
Love to be wrong.
That the pitching is going to be a problem. Scott in Barrington. What's up, Scotty?
Brother D, what's going on?
Oh, man. We just ran down that 60-game schedule and Tyler had him out of the playoffs.
You just said the key pitcher. Chris Wheeler. No offense. I mean,
you know, Chris Wheeler.
Yeah, his wife's going to have a baby. So when he leaves, who do you turn to then, Brother D? That's the one thing that worries me. And like I said, I don't blame him, but well, who's he going to turn to? Because, you know, he's going to go be with his wife. So what do you do then? You know, if he, you know, he takes that maternity leave.
I mean, we don't know, because that's when we start to think about, all right, can Arrieta step up? That's something that you hope happens in the shortened season. The same thing for Eflin. A lot of promise there for him. Maybe, and even Howard, where everyone's looking to the young guys saying, can you contribute this season since it's this abbreviated season? It's a wild one. You might need a young arm from time to time. Can he do that? Who will step up and seize that opportunity, Scott, until Wheeler gets back? And then when Wheeler comes back, what type of shape is he in? How long do you take? Normally you'd be like, all right, let me take a series, get him ready, get him to go. You're going to have to force feed him back in there.
Yep.
Because you're going to need his production.
Absolutely. So, and they got some tough teams on the East Coast, like the City American League teams, included, Brother D. So, we'll see what they're made of, and, Coach Girardi's made of. But, last question to you, Brother D, is, with the NBA, man, it's going to be exciting now. Not to knock him, we know how he comes back out of shape, but I think this shortened season may help him. How do you feel about that, Brother D? Listen, Dancer, peace. God bless you, man.
You as well. Have a good night, man. Appreciate it. That's what we've been discussing. Coming back, Josh Richardson told us he's in shape. Looks thinner than he was at the start of the season. Brett Brown has said the exact same thing. All we can do right now is go off of their word. Do you believe it? You don't have to, because I know when we did the show last week, we based it on Joel Embiid and Brett Brown and what Brown had to say about his conditioning and the best he's ever been and best he will probably ever be that he has seen from Embiid during their time here together since 2014. And we did a show about, with all due respect, Brett, Embiid has told us other things at the start of the seasons without speaking, just his body type and what it looked like when he finally stepped on the floor. So that's the key question for everybody. Embiid's conditioning and Simmons's health with his back. That's the question. 610-632-0975.
I believe it when I see it. And that's all we can do. And
wasn't that our question last week?
It was.
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah. It was exactly what we were talking about. And it's not, again, not a knock on these guys. It's just I've been led down this path before. And to use a quote from, you know, Pat Egan, who loves to use this one, I don't want to be Charlie Brown, you know, with Lucy with the football and have it be pulled away from me at the end of the season. I can't. So until I see it, I am a little bit skeptical.
And there's nothing wrong with that. We all know the success will happen because of those two young men being the franchise players and the features of what they do. And go from there, man. And go from there. Well, when we talk baseball, we're going to shift real quick because we have, well, about 20 minutes left in the show. I wanted to get this one in as well, Tyler, when it comes to the baseball. Now we're seeing some issues with the testing where managers, executives, players are speaking up. They're being very vocal that the testing is not being done properly, or at least the results are not coming back quickly enough for these guys in general. When you put something like this together quickly, again, there are going to be things that don't happen the way you expected them to happen. We feel like they would have the test because they are Major League Baseball. They are the professional athletes. They are going to have the opportunity to get these things before others because they have the capability of doing so. But right now, they're being called out. They are being called out, and it's not getting done. It's not getting done. And I'm not surprised.
Well, and not again, surprised. You know, you, with the amount of players that are being tested, of course you're going to see positive test results. It's just, you know, a numbers thing, right? It's just the more tests you do, the more the results go up. Obviously, that's a pretty obvious statement. But I think that they, Major League Baseball specifically, maybe more so than anything else, and we'll see what happens with the NFL when they start to come back, is that Major League Baseball kind of just played under that pretense that, okay, well, once we get this thing rolling, there's nothing that's going to stop us. And once we get all of the players tested, we'll be good. And that's not, I don't think that's going to be the case. So to have it be, to feel like it was thrown together at the last minute and to feel like it's not complete yet is another slap in the face to baseball fans who have already had to endure a lot already this season just to get to this point because the owners and players couldn't agree on terms.
100%.
So it's just another hurdle to get through.
100%. Another issue that they have that could have been avoided and something... The testing and all, they are technically rushing it because we're getting it quicker than we're accustomed to seeing. But even in this case, you would have to think that if things were handled the right way from the very beginning, taking their time, doing it properly, coming to their agreement, all of that stuff, you can do the testing. Then you don't have to force the 80 or 70. You can settle in on the 60, but give yourself like a couple more weeks before the one that they have, the time that they have now, and then come up with the right answers and time frame that you need to get the season underway correctly.
The buffer would have been huge.
Mm-hmm.
It would have allowed for a lot more of, thorough.
Yes.
Results.
And we know it's thorough. At least we believe it's thorough. But this is now smacking them in the face where they're like, guys, we thought this would be already wrapped up.
Well, and we doing? You know, you think about it specifically. The one team that's been, you know, just a total dumpster fire this entire offseason has been the Oakland A's, right? Between not paying the players and all of that, they've been just the utter definition of pathetic all offseason long. And then you see the tweet today that basically says that the Oakland A's test results are somewhere in San Francisco still because they had to get sent to Utah.
Isn't that amazing?
You had to send them to Utah? Are you serious? It's unreal. And the fact that they're in San Francisco, you're across the bridge. Go get them. I know it's not that simple, but the A's have been a nightmare all season long.
Amazing. Amazing. Utah, of all places. Now, I can't... We can't be here tonight, Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens, and we talk about the Sixers and them being back on the 30th, preseason getting underway on the 24th for the Sixers. They have three preseason games, exhibition games, whatever you want to call them. And now we have to tell you about the NHL that announced something earlier today via their public relations. And it's PR underscore NHL 3 hours ago. The NHLPA and NHL reached tentative agreement on return to play plan, CBA extension, set dates for resumption of play, which is good. So they've reached an additional 4 years. They added an additional 4 years to the term of the current collective bargaining agreement and includes transition rules and new critical dates calendar. Going forward, this is something that we talked about with the NBA that's going to happen, what they had to redo the entire thing or might have to do some things because of where they are right now. As of right now, we haven't heard of that with the CBA. Just the little things to get this underway. We'll see what then follows. As part of the tentative agreement, the following dates have been established. July 13th will be the start of formal training camps for the NHL. July 26th, clubs travel to hub cities. And now August 1st, right? Start of the qualifying round in the NHL. The tentative agreement is now subject to approval by the NHL's Board of Governors as well as the NHLPA's Executive Board followed by the full NHLPA membership. The respective review and approval processes will take place over the next few days, and there will be no further comment until those processes are completed. So they continue to just go under the radar, kind of minding their business, doing their thing, and they get this whole thing together quietly, and now it appears everything is a go. The only thing that's really different, again, will be the August 1st instead. I'm guessing the July 30th. I thought that was the start, but I guess they're just pushing it back an extra 2 days or a date. What is it? 2 days to get this thing going.
It's a good start. You know, and obviously we'll have to see what is going to happen with, much like with Major League Baseball, with testing and travel and all that kind of stuff. But it's a huge start, a huge step in the right direction for sure.
It is. It is. And again, as much as we talk about basketball, we know what it is on the radio when it comes to hockey. It just doesn't get the same play. And it's not because of us. Because when we do talk about it, it doesn't get, and you can't say it's how we present the topics or how we lay it out there or whatever it is. It's just really a case of people don't talk about it. People just don't talk about it. So, but it's good. It's good. And I like how they've handled it. The NBA has done it fantastic as well. And we get updates all the time from Woj and Shams on what the league is doing. The NBA has done a great job. The NHL has done a very nice job, I think, with how they put this together. What do you think?
I think the NBA has been the best one, for sure. The only issue that obviously appears is the state that they're being sent to. You know, obviously Florida is a mess right now, and that's concerning to me, and that is my big worry. But, you know, when you have the entirety of the bubble with the assumption that everybody is going to play by the rules, then everything should be, in theory, pretty locked tight. And you should not see any issues or spikes or anything like that. So the NBA itself, I think, has put together the best option. It's just the state worries me the most. The hub city thing is a little bit worse, but it's still pretty good. Because you are going to have everybody contained within the same area, at least. Major League Baseball, traveling and playing games in home stadiums, mm-hmm. that worries me. And the NFL seems to be like on the path that it's going to do the same thing. So I would say the NHL and the NBA are the two best, with the NBA being the best of them all.
Okay. I agree with you that the NBA has done the best job. The NHL is right behind them, quietly going about their business, making sure everything, crossing the T's and dotting the I's and putting themselves in the right position to get the NHL out there in the best possible way. And that appears right now to be in Canada. They'll be in Canada, and that's just where they are right now. Two spots, the hub cities, two spots in Canada, and they believe that that is the best way to go about it with the lack of positive cases across the border. We mentioned the Toronto Raptors a little bit earlier, leaving from Toronto, going to Florida in general, early to get a head start, and them going to Florida early to get the head start. It has been a positive thing here, which is good, positive, not the positive tests. A good that they have not had any positive tests so far since they've been in Florida. So Toronto, that just bodes well for the NBA right now, although they are not in the bubble. They just simply are doing the right thing as of right now in Miami. So it just looks good for the NBA that this is the case for them. We've had some situations now in the NBA where there have been some positive results overall, with teams having to now shut down their facilities. So I believe it's just the Kings and the Bucks right now. Story in the Bucks. Yes, Bucks, Woj, Bucks shutting down practice facility after recent round of coronavirus testing, and they are making sure that the team isn't expected to reopen the facility for workouts prior to the organization's traveling party leaving for Orlando on Thursday. Again, I think teams start to leave tomorrow. Sixers leave Wednesday. Bucks here, in this case, are leaving Thursday. NBA teams in Orlando will scrimmage against a team in opposite conference or an unlikely first-round playoff opponent in same conference. League tells the teams in the memo. We spoke about the Sixers in their three games. The names that we talked about, allowing players to put names on the back of the jerseys. The WNBA has already announced that they'll allow the females in the WNBA to the women place on the back of their jerseys the females that have lost their lives, which is pretty cool. And I'm sure a lot of people will have Breonna Taylor, and we'll see how they do it. similar to what they did with Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant in the All-Star game, how they'll go about doing that. The NBA, Mike Scott was vocal earlier about not liking the process, the names, or at least what they were given options of putting on the back of the jerseys. Jaylen Brown followed that sentiment by saying he did not like it also, felt like they could have done a better job, and just allowing them to choose. Maybe not as going as far as what Ja Morant did on Instagram with his number being 12 and what he had to say, which was, you know, this is what you, you know, but it's, I like the gesture, but it's kind of like when we spoke about the NFL and Lift Every Voice and Sing. These things are going to take time, and you just have to continue to do things until people feel comfortable that you're actually doing the right thing when it comes to making sure we address the racial inequality in this country.
Well, and that's why I texted you before the show started, because we were talking about this a little bit, you know, during the day, and I said, you know, under the pretense that it, you know, like you mentioned with Ja Morant, that it's not a curse or, you know, an offensive term or something like that. Don't you think that it would make more sense to allow the players to speak how they feel best by, like, allowing them to pretty much put whatever they'd like on the back of it instead of, and it's a right, like you said, it's a good step, right? But they would be doing a better service to the players by allowing them to put what their most important message is, what their most important cause is, mm-hmm. as opposed to saying, hey, these are your five or six you can choose from, mm-hmm. and that's that. So under the pretense that it's not a curse or an offensive term, you would think that they should be able to put whatever they'd like.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. Maybe they will, since they have addressed this, maybe they'll still find a way to get this done before they get out of there, because that's a lot of sewing that needs to be done to add these different things to these players' jerseys. And remember when they allowed the nicknames to be on the jerseys and they allowed the players to decide what the nicknames and all were going to be, and they had those like Jesus Shuttlesworth and King James Flash for Dwayne Wade and all of that stuff that they put out there. As long as it's within rules and it's tasteful, then you allow them to put the stuff that they want on there. I mean, yeah, you allow them to do it. The other team was I said the Bucks and someone else. I can't remember already. It's like what Mikhail said earlier. How you just
somebody's names. Name?
Yeah, somebody's name, but some team's name I forgot. Woj put this out 4 days ago on the 2nd of July. After a positive test for the coronavirus in Los Angeles, the Clippers traveling party headed to Orlando next week. The organization closed its practice facility to players and staff as a precaution today. That was on the 2nd of July. So, they're just taking their space. Wasn't the other one the Nuggets like a few days before that? I think it was the Nuggets a few days before that when they decided to shut things down because it was in their best interest after having a positive test not to go along with those as well. The Sixers scrimmage games will be Memphis at Philadelphia 3:30 on July 24th. Sixers at Oklahoma City 12 p.m. July 26th on the Sunday afternoon. And the Sixers round out the final game actually of the preseason against the Dallas Mavericks, 8:30 tip, 28th, which is a Tuesday, in Orlando. And remember, they don't take the floor for their regular season game until the 1st, so they have a few days off, 29th, 30th, and July 31st, right?
Yes.
Yeah, July 31st. So they'll play August 1st against the Indiana Pacers. So that's the schedule for the 76ers in the postseason. I mean, yeah, exhibition game.
I think it's April, June.
30, September.
September.
Yeah. Those are the
and days. November.
And of course.
I think it's those four.
Only 28 in February.
Trying to remember that song they used to teach you.
I don't remember that song. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the song. The Shams 2 days ago, the NBA has informed teams that a player will not be allowed to travel with team to Orlando if he misses coronavirus test on one of 2 days before travel dates, 7th through the 9th. Player would then have to register 3 consecutive negative tests before traveling. Hey, man, they have all of these counter to another counter to the other counter and then the other counter. That's good, though.
As they should.
That's good. That is good to make sure they have all of these things covered. That's good to make sure they have everything. I think we covered everything here tonight with all of this. We started with Richardson and how he's often ignored as just a guy. I mean, people talk about him, but not enough in his importance. The Sixers in general and where they'll be. Has anything been spoken about today on the station that helped you maybe change your mind a little bit? How you're feeling about the team based on what you heard today? We mentioned briefly about Furkan Korkmaz's role. Tyler, can I ask you this before we go? If you had to look at their rotation right now, off the bench, let's assume Shake starts. Shake and Al Horford cancel each other out because one of the two will be like the sixth man.
Okay.
How are you looking at the rest of the rotation?
That's a good question. I'm looking at the rest of the rotation.
Because we think we go 8 or 9 here with Brett Brown. And then, in my opinion, you might have to stretch a little bit just because of you just coming back.
Yeah, I think normally you would probably cut it down to 8. But I think probably for the rest of the 8 games, you'll probably see closer to 10. So I would obviously have those 5 and whomever doesn't start between Shake and Horford. Furkan Korkmaz. Mm. This is in no particular order after those 6. But Furkan Korkmaz is in the rotation to start.
To start.
Mike Scott is also in the rotation, as is Matisse Thybulle. And that might be it. I don't think I give...
Where's Burks and Robinson?
Oh, and Robinson. Yeah, and Robinson for sure. I'm not as high on Burks. I guess I put him in the rotation to start, obviously, because there's going to be 10. Okay, so I missed that one. But I'm not as high on him down the stretch as I think some are.
Hmm. And for me, it's not about down the stretch for him. It's about who else do you have that can handle the ball like he does on
right.
a string? Who can create a shot for themselves on a string?
Well, you're hoping to Shake.
Yes, that's one. Richardson, Simmons, Harris, you're still going to need another. Instant offense. This is all I want you to do.
Okay.
Like Bellinelli comes in to shoot. That's Furkan's thing right now. But I need somebody who can put the ball on the floor. They haven't had that guy. Can it be him? That's the only reason. That's one of the reasons why I keep him in there. That's one of the reasons why I keep him in
there. So you're going with 11 to start.
I'm saying that's what he has to play with to figure out
okay.
how he cuts down on his rotation. That's what I think he has to play with, 11 people.
So let me ask you this.
Scott, and you didn't even mention a big man outside of Horford being the backup.
I don't think they need one.
No Quinn, Norvell Pell.
Between Scott and Simmons being able to play big
4.
Yeah, play some bigger.
And sometimes 5.
Some bigger roles. I don't think you need one.
Okay.
Well, and like they said, Brett Brown said, Joel's going to play 38 minutes, right?
He did.
That leaves what, 10 minutes of backup center role?
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
We think that's Al Horford.
Right.
Yeah, we think that's Al Horford. All right. I mean, hey, let's see what happens, man. Let's see what happens. So, we covered a lot tonight. We thank everybody for checking in. Really appreciate it. You guys just jumping in, and hopefully you guys enjoyed the t-shirts that you won this evening. Really appreciate you checking in and contributing all night. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with a special guest joining us. Look forward to that as well throughout the entirety of the show. So make sure you tune into the morning show. Should be a blast. I think Chris Mortensen already has been announced. Jamie put out there on the show tomorrow morning to talk some NFL, talk some Eagles. I'm sure with the morning show, tomorrow morning. So make sure you guys check in to the morning shows tomorrow starting at 6 a.m.
They'll probably talk about the $700 billion contract that Patrick Mahomes got.
A little bit. And how this Eagles got the team on a discount. Eagles got Carson Wentz on a discount.
You know who's not getting a discount?
Who's that?
Dak Prescott.
Nah.
Going to get a lot of money.
Yeah.
Whether it be the Cowboys or somebody else.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Oh, I'm seeing something with DeSean Jackson. We'll check this out. But have a great night, Todd. Thanks so much, man. Great job as always. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.